Hello and welcome to episode 25 of the Inner Miami Show. I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Brandon Griffin, and with me is Mike, king of the neon sunburn, Longan. How are you doing, my friend?
Neon sunburn. That's an intro. I haven't, and I don't know how to respond to that.
So that's what you call a guy who's like, you know, hanging out at bars, shutting them down.
Do I wear my sunglasses at night too?
Did you in Nashville? Because
I don't remember. I might have. No, I'm doing okay. You and I both know we weren't sure I was going to be on tonight. I wasn't feeling great leading up to the show, but here I am. I am recognizing I forgot to tell our viewers that on Twitter that we were going to be broadcast tonight. But that's just a reminder to everyone: make sure you subscribe on YouTube because YouTube would have given you a notification. Yes. Hit the bell. You could have been alerted in multiple ways. But yeah, let's get into this. I think I didn't get to watch a Sporting KC match live. We had an event at my house that we had the game on, but I couldn't watch it full time. But I did watch it later on the week. So I've got some thoughts I'm excited to discuss with you and maybe have either similar opinions or, as usual, very different ones.
I don't know. We'll see. That'll be interesting for sure, just like it always is. But yeah,
we are a debate show that talks soccer. We're not a soccer show.
We're not. You know, we didn't put anything up because there's nothing new, but just wanted to throw out there. We have seen a lot of traction on the Fort Lauderdale United front, as far as people signing up for season tickets. So continue to do that. If you notice and are following them on social media, they have been more active lately. I think they tweeted out today asking what people's favorite part of Fort Lauderdale is, things like that. So if you're not following them, follow them.
And I thought it was super cool. You and I are in, I forget which of the, we're in a bunch of mutual
chat groups. Herons today.
Yeah, we're asking who's supporting. A whole bunch of people had bought tickets already. Yeah. So clearly people are buying tickets. I think there's a little bit of excitement in the air. I am excited to get some more news from the club. So hopefully next time we talk, we'll have some new stuff to show off and talk about.
Yeah, I hope so. And, you know, I haven't seen any announcement that they've filled the 954 season ticket holders to get your name etched into the stadium. So that's still an added bonus as far as I know.
And hopefully it'll be done permanently this time, so they can't just paint it over with a messy mural.
Yeah, not like Jeffrey was kind enough to share with us that picture of the wall. Bye, City Lucas. Good evening, man.
Man, Mike V coming in hot. I love my favorite part of Fort Lauderdale is I-95 South to get back to Miami. No one says that. No one has ever said I-95 is their favorite of anything. Like, no. You could say a lot. Like, my favorite part of Fort Lauderdale is leaving it to get back to Miami, and I will accept that statement. But don't say I-95 South. No one says that.
You could have said
especially 95 South right now is a disaster.
Yeah. You said Turnpike, I'd believe you.
Yeah, I could accept the Turnpike. Very easy to get from Drive Pink to the Turnpike, in fact. So
even though I think you have the directions reversed.
I agreed. Hey, so I have one. I know we didn't talk. Little season ticket holder news. So I was talking to my rep today. And I was talking to complain about the fact that I still only have 3 check-ins, even though I should have 5. He did tell me that all week the club has been in contact with the company that's dealing with the check-ins. So hopefully we might actually see some resolution here and all of our numbers will finally be correct. I also did notice that if you go into the app today, there's something special for the Nashville app. There's a one-of-one like badge if you check in for the Nashville game. So I don't know what it is. Legitimately don't know. It's not like I'm speculating. Like I legitimately don't know, but I did see specifically that checking in for the Nashville game was different.
So this, and I noticed it when I was pulling in stuff for our slide deck, the Nashville game is what's called the Ocean game. So I think that's where we're going to see this new like pre-match
eco-friendly
kit. Cause apparently we are not, as of yet, seeing the Prima Blue or whatever they called it for the actual match kit, we have not seen yet.
Which I'm glad we didn't flash that kit last episode, did we? The warm up, did we flash?
We didn't. But if you want to find one, we can.
It was ugly.
And we'll talk about it at the end.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. I want to talk about the end. I think it's hideous. But I was very happy it was not the prime blue kit this year, because I've historically liked the I've liked at least two of the three prime blue kits. Last year's wasn't great, but the first two, that white one
was, we talked about, like, oh, it was looked like it was basically from year one, but
no, the green was green and blue together, and they it just didn't wasn't nice. I like the white one. The white one you're talking about, which I think is the rarest of rare kits, that's my favorite.
See, I like the blue and orange.
I see a lot of people still wearing that. It's like the blue and orange is like a year one badge, or technically I think it's a year two badge, but it's like one of those OG badges. Like, I've got the blue kit. If I say, Lucas, when is our third kit coming? So we speculatively think it'll be a League's Cup. Well, I think it's a wee, but I speculatively think it's a League's Cup thing. Like, right around League's Cup, they'll launch that, and then you'll see a lot of Messi wearing that during League's Cup, during this huge advertising, broadcasting, so that they can sell a ton of them. That's my
While we're talking theory. About this, I am going to share my screen real quick and throw up the picture of the kit. So that's it. That's the pre-match kit right here.
And I think it's ugly.
So, and let's see if we can show them. Oh, this is just the Inter Miami sword.
Man, you're showing your browser to our audience. Oh. This is one of those things that get very nerve-wracking.
Why?
I don't know what your browser, what tabs you have up open.
It's literally this and Foot Mob.
Okay. By the way, last I looked, Miami.
But SP these are all the jerseys.
So, and they're all ugly.
I actually, see, I don't mind this one. I don't mind that. This one I'm kind of on. I don't like the blue one that we have. Because they're each supposed to represent something different. So this is supposed to represent the ocean. This is like the forest.
There's like flowers and stuff on it.
Right. So if you really wanted to do it right, like throw some fish on there or something. And then, like, you know, this one, forest, I'm fine with that. I get it. But that's supposed to be the desert, I think. Like,
I guess it's only colors. Like, it's
because
it's
the same in the desert.
It's the same design, but just different colors. But again, it doesn't make sense. This is Adidas getting cheap again. Oh, look, we have different ones for different clubs, except the same design. We just changed some colors.
Yeah, exactly. Insane. So
Sean throwing out one was Atlanta's 404 jersey release. I think it was around League's Cup. That's been kind of where I've been.
Yeah, I feel like it was released like right before or right after League's Cup. It's probably like the match or two before, I think, is when it came out.
It was right after August 22nd, 2023. It was right after League's Cup. So they did League's Cup, and then coming out of off the break, they did it. So that's kind of what I'm expecting this third kit, which we all, I mean, there's been so many rumors, and there's so many leaks. There's been leaks that there's a shoe tie to it. Like, there's flames to this smoke. We just don't know what the final version is.
Yeah. We haven't seen any leaks since, like, all the ones that we covered early on with, like, the Miami Dolphins theme and stuff. So, be interesting to see what the final product looks like. Definitely hope it's better than what we got this year.
I have come full 180 degrees to agree with you that I do hope our third kit is better. I'll throw out one more thing. I do hope they sell the third kit in authentic. We've never had a third kit before. I don't know if there's any differences in it, but I do hope there's a legit authentic, because that's also one of my always issues with the prime green kit, is they only do the replicas. You cannot get the authentic, and authentic fits different. It's more comfortable. It's lighter weight. It's better in the heat. I much prefer them.
But I would guess, because this is like a third kit, they would do. Oh, now we got to look it up and see if Atlanta had.
I am doing that as we speak. This show is live. We do the research live.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike and I have not talked as much as we normally do before we recorded today, because we both have busy days. So you guys are kind of seeing a little peek into what we actually talk about.
Yeah. Again, for those, I think people jumped on the show late, I have been down for the count with some kind of chest cold. So I was basically useless the first half this week. No research. Completely forgot to do the tweets that the show was going to be on the air tonight. So Yeah.
But there's 80 of you guys watching, so I love it. Our people so are here.
Men's Atlanta United FC authentic jersey. So they do called an authentic jersey. It's on sale on MLSsoccer.com right now for $68.99 against their normal $149.99. So apparently it did not sell. So if you are a closet Atlanta fan and love that 404 jersey, it is really on sale right now. Just throwing that out there.
I didn't love it.
I wasn't a huge fan, but I
mean, it wasn't for me. But you know,
maybe Mike V's a closet Atlanta fan. It happens.
Oof. Well, what I was going to say though is I think the third jersey shouldn't be for the mass public. It should be specific to the city and have some sort of ties to that fan base. So, I see fans wearing it, so I would assume there are some that liked it, but who knows?
I think it was a cool jersey. It was different. Like, listen, we struggle in MLS to get jerseys that are different. Right? Every once in a while, maybe one a season, you get one. It was a unique jersey. Like, give them credit. I might not love it, but I'll recognize that it was special and unique.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, you know, wasn't for me. But moving right along, I don't really want to talk about this again, but we're going to have to.
And Lucas already jumped ahead of us on this one.
There he is. Our transfer rumor, Lucas. Now, if you guys have paid attention, this is the exact same slide we used the last time because nothing's changed. He hasn't played since the last time we talked about him a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, there's a lot of rumors going on about Rojas right now. You know, the Inter-Miami show's very own Mike Longan spotted him at a game a couple weeks ago, fully kitted out, or fully decked out. I shouldn't say kitted out, in Inter-Miami gear. If you guys follow Inter-Miami CF Traveler, he tweeted out from the MLS website that they had Mateus Rojas on there. If you go on there, which I did today to double check, he's not there anymore. Somebody definitely jumped the gun there. But we expected this signing to happen. I know at one point we were told it was held up because he was trying to get, or we were trying to get FIFA to approve the transfer. There's been a lot of speculation now that because we are at 30 people on the roster, we are trying to ship somebody out to make room for Rojas.
And that's my current, and I texted that this morning, or maybe it was late last night. That's where I'm currently sitting, is that we're struggling to move somebody to get him out, to make room for him. We don't have a spot for him. You know, before we came on, Branson and I were discussing all like the classic ways to do this of do a free loan to someone or ship them to my MCF2 for the season. I'm speaking for Branson and I. We both really don't know the rules well enough in MLS to what you're allowed to do those situations. Like, we know that Pizarro was given a very cheap loan to Monterrey. Like, it was a very discounted loan, but there's still money transactionally changed hands. That's my theory right now, is we're held up on making room for him.
Yeah, and you know, Vice City Lucas brings up a great point. Hate the signing as a casual Serie A Brazilian fan or league watcher. He is not good, and I agree. I don't understand the signing other than he was free. Nothing in his career has like stood out to me like, oh my god, this guy is going to be great. If you look at his statistics, which we have up on the screen right now, he shoots a lot. That's it. He doesn't convert all of those shots to goals. He attempts passes.
I think that's really all I can say. Pass completion number is kind of one of the scarier numbers. If I think about a Tata led team, which is reliant on, you know, passing and good passing, high quality passing, 70% passing is probably not getting it done.
And the stats are showing, like, compared to other players in his position in the Brazilian league, and like, he's not a star performer. Like, there's a reason he's free. and like you had mentioned, you thought that when we were talking earlier today that you thought like, oh, maybe it's somebody who can stretch the field and provide some depth. And I'm like, Tata doesn't like to stretch the field. So I don't know that he's going to use him for that. We'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong.
But this had to be, so there's this debate going back and forth. Is it Hendo's team or is it Tata's team? I think, you know, a lot of people are crediting Tata with the Gomez call. Tata won Gomez. Look how great he's doing, which I'll have a mea culpa on Gomez in a bit. But I think if we are looking at this guy, Rojas, it's Tata's call. This was not Chris Henderson found him. Tata wants him for whatever reason. I think I just don't think it's Chris Henderson. This doesn't seem like a Chris Henderson pick.
So my question is, how does Tata even know this guy?
I mean, Tata's been in the... So Tata, Messi, these guys all have feelers out there. They know somebody somebody. I mean, if he's in the Brazilian league...
What I'm saying is, like...
Suarez could have... Couldn't Suarez have seen him last year?
It's possible, but I like, looking at his stats, I don't think Suarez is like, yeah, get me this guy.
Somebody saw him. They didn't just, like, throw a dart at a board and like, oh, it hit Brazil. Oh, it hit this team. Oh, it hit this player. That's the guy we want, right? Like, there was some thought of why we want this specific one. Besides, he's free. Like, the dart might have started with, okay, just chose free guys. That's all we can afford at this point.
But I feel like this thing started when we were broke and we had to add a depth piece. And now, like, we've gone so far down this rabbit hole that we're like, okay, we need it.
So Vice City throwing this out there. Rojas started in Argentinian league, which now you can start saying, okay, Tata, Messi. Okay. Now you start seeing that line. But again, this is where I think this is a Tata signing. So while kind of look at it, I don't understand how it fits on Tata system. It is a Tata signing, which I guess kind of makes sense that Tata would pick someone that doesn't fit in the system. That just feels like a Tata decision.
Yeah.
Like this is like when Mike V put his Tata hat on, he picked Rojas. This is a clear Mike V signing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to boot Mike V today. I just want to be very clear. I still feel bad about doing that last episode. So we're not going to do that again.
Yeah, I just...
But yeah, we still think he's coming.
Unfortunately.
We'll see what happens.
I don't know.
Listen, we've got a lot of injuries. He's going to see the pitch very quickly if he's coming.
I don't think so. I don't think he sees the pitch very often.
No, I hope you're right, but our medical staff often says you're wrong.
Oh, Mike V loves him.
See, because Mike V's got his Tata hat on.
I will say, Mike V did call the starting lineup the other day, so I don't know if I can doubt him anymore. No. Man knows what he's talking about.
Speaking of starting lines, let's get into the Kansas City game.
Yeah. Oh, let's do this one.
Can we call this the Ghost 3-5-2 formation? Like the shadow formation where it looks like a 4-3-3 on paper, except it isn't at all. Which is it was Tata going, they're all yelling at me not to do 3-5-2 anymore. So I'll cheat and lie. And I'll just make Busquets a center back, but no one will believe it. So it's going to work. And it worked. I mean, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. We won.
Yeah.
But this was another 3-5-2. This should actually go in the books as a win in the 3-5-2 column, but it won't because it was labeled a 4-3-3.
Well, that could also be because the... So, and I did notice this afterwards, right? So when I was putting this together, I noticed... They put the starting lineup out like this, like a listing for this game. In previous games, they have given us the actual tactical positioning of the players. And I'm guessing that they announced it as like a back four, but they really didn't know that it was going to be a back five.
I think Apple TV, when I watched the game on repeat, it was listed as a 4-3-3.
Yeah,
like when your boy Taylor was announcing it, he walked it through as a 4-3-3.
Yeah,
yeah. But now I'm literally trying to run the game in the background to figure this out.
Coach V has it. It was actually a 4-4-2, but I think it played more like a back five because we saw Busquets kind of constantly pushing back. and kind of almost covering for Toto, because I didn't think Toto had a great game, but
no, he was Busquets was spent a ton of time in the back line, lined up along
the right side. To be fair to Toto, the right side was very weak in this game. Oh, they got picked.
Going back to Busquets, like Busquets was very much lined up as a center back. He came forward aggressively at times, but on possession, he was very far back. Kind of like him, Toto and Freire's kind of stayed back there together. And then I think we saw that as a distribution issue later on, like because he was so far back, he was then also trying to distribute, but he was definitely playing as a center back.
Yeah.
Now, if you take a moment and think to yourself, okay, would you rather have Busquets be a center back or Noah Allen? I understand some logic.
If like you say, don't no, even say it.
I get the logic. I'm not sure I agree with it because do I want to risk Busquets injured and doing it? But I can see someone going, it makes more sense to have Busquets be a center back than Noah Allen. Like that, there's legitimacy to this thought process. I don't like it. I think long term that hurts you more than helps you.
I disagree with that. Because, like, let's be honest. We all love Noah Allen, but Noah Allen is not the future at center back for this team.
Oh, that's not what I'm saying.
So, well, you said it hurts the long term.
No, but it hurts the long term. Not. I'm more worried about Busquets getting injured.
Oh,
that's my concern. Then, yeah, there.
That's fair.
My concern is when you play a player out of position, they're more likely to get injured.
Right.
They're like, and so they're both being played out of position, but. Frankly, who am I more worried about? The young 20-year-old kid who can rebound from anything, or the guy, you know, what's he, 32, 35?
Right.
Like, yeah. That's my long-term concern here. Right.
So I get
you got to be careful of that.
But I think going from playing CDM to playing center back in a back five isn't a huge difference.
I get that.
And I think we've also seen what happens when we have two young center backs on the field at the same time. That inexperience comes back to bite us at certain times. So while I don't like the back five, I think it worked with Busquets there because he kind of covered up for those moments where Toto struggled. And that's going to happen. He's a young center back. We forget because he is so massive. He is so
he's tall. Such a baby face.
We His forget face how is young so young. He is. Yeah, but he plays angry. Like he's not always like smiling. Like when he smiles, he looks young. But when he's like mad, yeah.
And when they zoom in on his face, though, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, yeah, the kid, he's a kid. Yeah. He's as young as the rest of these guys. But when they zoom out, you see the massive body.
Yeah.
So we win this game 3-2. I predicted 3-1. I will say this is the Inter-Miami score line I expected to see up until now and past now, which is we're just going to outscore teams. We're going to have a mediocre defense.
Mm-hmm.
And just frankly outscore them. Like I looked at this game and went, okay, this is kind of what I expected this year. This is how you win. This is how this team gets to MLS Cup is games that look just like that. 3-2, 3-1, 4-2 wins where we just simply outscore the other team. Like if you were going to tell me from day one, this was Tata's tactic just to actually outscore them. And we were scoring like this. I'm much less on the Tata Al train than I still am today. But this was the first time I went, okay, this is what I expected from Inter Miami this year.
Remember last episode when I was like, you know, two wins and you're going to be back like, oh, we can win MLS Cup. Things are looking more positive.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we got one game.
Turning it around.
Yeah, see, I knew you were going to say that. But listen, I am an honest man. I'm calling it out. This is what I expect. Like people who looked at this go, oh, yeah. What a bad defense. No, this is what we expected. Anyone who looks at MLS and looked at our team, where MLS, you have to make decisions. You can either have a great defense or great offense or kind of mediocre both. We put all of our money in the midfield and attacking.
Yeah.
We have to sacrifice goals. We always knew we'd be leaky, but we had to outscore them. And if you've been following me on Twitter for the past year, my number one thing is, increase the offense, increase the attack, score more goals. For the first time we did. Against Nashville, we'll get to that. We should do the same. And if you start seeing these lines, that if we end the season, most goals for, most goals against. Well, not on camera. Most goals for and most goals against. I would actually be okay with that because that's how Inter Miami's probably going to win this year.
Well, and I think we should also talk about the atmosphere, right? Like, that was pretty cool to see 72,000 fans for regular season MLS game.
And it was, so it's interesting. I'm going to say it was way more blue than I expected. Now, I get a lot of those Argentinian blue, but there was a lot of SKC fans. And now, it's possible that MLS strategically placed microphones so that you heard more of the Sporting KC fans, but it felt like a more balanced atmosphere than I expected.
Yeah, it did. And I like that. I'm glad it was like that because, you know, SKC, we have a friend who was an SKC supporter when he lived there, before he moved over to Miami and, you know,
reminds us every game.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds us what a great atmosphere SKC is and how much he misses the blue. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice to see.
They treated their supporters so well. They gave us kegs for almost no money. It was limited to just one section. I could watch the game. Okay, sorry. I know he doesn't watch, but this is going to get shorted and will be sent to him, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We absolutely have to send it to him. But yeah, no, it was really cool to see that for a major, just a regular season game, not even playoffs. And I know they're all there to see Messi. But it was nice to see.
We have to call out the disappointment. Taylor Swift,
not there.
Everyone called that wrong. Everyone thought she was coming.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I did the investigative reporting. My homeboy was there.
Well, I told you he owns part of the team, and so yeah, I knew he would be there. Just based off of that. And it was cool that Inter Miami put out a little video of those two meeting. It was of Messi and Mahomes. It was cool.
The GOAT versus who could be the future GOAT. It's a pretty good meeting.
Mike V, I agree. Missouri is a hotbed for soccer right now in the country. And anybody who doesn't think so is crazy.
And spoiler alert, there's a reason why Coach Lasso went back there.
Have we confirmed he's from Kansas though, isn't he?
Yeah, he talked about KC barbecue Missouri, sauce on a regular.
Right. There's Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas. And I believe he's from Kansas because he coached at Wichita State.
But we're saying that area is a hotbed. I'm not limiting it to one specific state. That's
different
regional,
different states.
Oh, Jesus Christ! This is interesting. So Joe pointed out it's third all time highest attendance for MLS. The fact that El Tráfico, I think, is the highest attended game at the Rose Bowl, still shows how much MLS without Messi. It was an El Tráfico with no major names beyond who was on the team at the time. You know, obviously Vela and Boanga and Pug were there. I think I mispronounced his name, but MLS is growing. The fact that you can put this many people now in games. You don't need Messi, but it's cool that Messi is helping it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think you could have played that in 100,000 person stadium and it would have sold out.
Yeah.
That's a cool story. Cool, Mike V. His wife is from Missouri and she played high school soccer, which is why he married her.
The Missouri part or the high school soccer or both? Getting a little personal on you, Mike V.
My parents lived in St. Louis, and they swear by people from Missouri. They say they're all right.
I have been to Kansas City is. I've been to the Kansas City airport as a layover.
I think the airport's in Missouri.
Most of the cities in Missouri. I have ordered quite a few barbecue sauces from Kansas City.
Yeah.
There you go. I can't speak to it more than that. Yeah, no, I'm not a known. I don't know a lot about Kansas City.
But, yeah, I mean, it was a good game, like you said. Like, you know, we outscored them.
Both teams had multiple chances.
Yeah. And we'll, you know, I think, you know, my man of the match was definitely Gomez. I thought he played lights out. He was all over the field, both sides of the field. Really made a difference. I don't know how you feel about it.
So this is where I have to admit something. So I've already admitted one that I will be honest and I recognize this was as awful as Coach Tata is, this was the kind of game I expected. I think it was episode 3. We were dealing with the fact that we had 4 U22s. And we had Emerson. I was talking about stretching the field then. I said, maybe it's worth not keeping Gomez because he hasn't done much. And let's stretch and keep Emerson who can stretch the field. That was a really bad take. I was very, 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 very wrong. Like beyond wrong. It's
well, I don't like, have a whiteboard, but
yeah. I don't think you fully disagreed with that take, by the way. I think you were you.
I did. I told you that Gomez needed another year to settle.
He did. He needed all of like 6 games. So you were not totally correct there either.
Okay. I did not. Well, all right. Take it literally, but whatever you want.
He has already transformed himself. I do think we get to keep him to the end of the. Oh no! Damn, I forgot. That's a yellow board, sir. I demand a whiteboard.
Okay. I won't correct you because I know you're sensitive about this, but it's green.
Okay, I can't tell the difference, but it's definitely not white. Can we agree it's not white?
We absolutely can. That's why I said I don't have a whiteboard here.
So, but hands down, brilliant decision. Yeah. He's really coming through his own. Now, let's give it some time before we start crowning him future MVP. Like he's still early in his career, but he's making
a difference. Did we say that?
I don't want anyone to run this past there. But
I don't think he's there yet.
I was very wrong, and he is a hell of a player, and we are lucky to have him. Yeah. And the fact that we get him as a U22, which makes it just a steal for us, is fantastic. He's going to be the U22 of the league. Like that one, I think I don't know how many U22s are better than him right now in this league.
Oh yeah, when they do their 22 under 22,
like he's gonna be one.
Number one, our highest rated one for sure. But yeah, excellent performance from him. Suarez, Messi, both adding to their goal scoring tallies. Suarez still leads in that race for the Golden Boot, at least for Inter Miami, and I think he's still probably one of the favorites for.
He's tied right now. They're all tied at 6.
Yeah, Messi's at 5, isn't he? Or is he at 6 now too?
I can tell you in a second. I happen to be on MLS Soccer already.
He might be at 6 because I think he was at 5 before.
He's not at 6.
He's at 5 right now.
At 6 is Suarez, Morgan, Jovic, Benteke, and Arango. Messi's sitting at 5. He's tied with the Greek guy from Atlanta whose name I'm not going to attempt to pronounce.
Don't say it.
Giakoumakis. That's not far off.
That feels right.
Yeah.
I feel like you do better with the Greek pronunciations than some of the Spanish ones.
Yeah, it's probably. I can't roll an R for shocker. Sean, by the way, you're throwing out here. Gomez could be sold next window just on a profit bias, maybe it's just basis. I'd only throw out there. I'd also throw out there if we're in the MLS Cup hunt. I think we're going to go for it, and even if what you could see is a sell. I'm taking your words, Branton. A sell and a loan back so we can finish the season with him. But I think he'll be on our roster until December.
Yeah, I don't see him. I don't think he's done enough to warrant the type of move that I think he's looking for. I think he's looking to move to one of the top leagues. And let's be honest, he's done really well, but he hasn't shown it for a full season yet. And he hasn't. He's not walking into like even a mid-table EPL team or bottom of the table EPL team and starting. Maybe he's walking into Everton and starting. All right, that was a bad take. Maybe he could walk in there and start, but most other teams he's not walking in and starting.
He wouldn't let Cole Palmer score that many goals. I know that.
Yeah, but you know, like I think it behooves him to finish the season here. He'll probably be able to make a move in January. If somebody buys him now, an AZ Rebellion. That was a team I was going to say. Brighton is always a team to watch out with young South American talent. They normally jump in early on him. I can see a team like that making a move for him, a Brighton or maybe like somebody in the Bundesliga like Leverkusen or God. Could be anybody. really, in the Bundesliga, making a move for him and doing a loan back for the rest of the year. Let him finish out the season here, go in January. My only concern with a team like Brighton or anybody in the EPL is with Brexit now. These players have to get their work permits, and they have to be eligible for a work permit to even think about going there. So that's kind of why I kind of think he might end up in like a Germany, maybe Netherlands, Italy, even Spain. He could end up there. It's a much easier move because he does not have enough caps on an international level, and I don't think he's done enough from a league level to warrant getting his work permit. And Sean, our Scotsman, Rangers, Celtic, those would be awesome clubs for him to go to. We've seen a lot of guys make the jump from Celtic.
I think he's going to look. I don't want to take a shot at Rangers or Celtic, but I think he's going to look for EPL or one of the big three leagues.
I don't think he's done enough to get his work permit for an EPL team.
Yeah, but I think, again, he might hold. Like, do you take the jump early and go? I want to throw out, by the way.
But we'll see.
So I saw this stat earlier. I can't find it. If you look at goals plus assists, right now Inter Miami has three in the top five, with Gomez, Messi, and Suarez all being in that list right now. Messi's got a combined total of 10. Suarez is 9. I just had it. Gomez is sitting at 7. So, like, that's what we need. You need that. You just need scoring.
Yeah.
Lots of scoring. We're going to win on goals. I know it sounds like a very John Madden statement, but we're not going to win on defense. We're going to win on goals.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just to rub Mike's face in it some more, Gomez and Messi are two representatives on the team of the match day.
I was so nervous we're going to see Tata up here all of a sudden. I was like, oh, no.
God, no.
Can't handle that.
No way. Absolutely not. I think, you know, Gomez and Messi deserve to be up there. They both had good games. Anything you want to talk about with that?
No, I think they're deserved. I think I will say, maybe biased, I know everyone was hyping Messi up. I agree with you. Gomez, I think, was the man of the match. What he did on that third goal, like, I don't know if you remember it. He steals the ball off their back, gets it through another defender, and pinpoints the cross to Suarez. If you look at it, if he put any less weight on the ball, any more weight on the ball, it was not a goal. He put it the only place Suarez could tap it in and not be defending against. It was as perfect as could be. It was a really just fantastic assist. And he really, I mean, like, Suarez should only get half a goal for that one, and because Gomez did all the work for it.
Like, he said that about his first goal too, I think.
Like, it was just a hell of, like, Suarez was where he had to be, and I know great strikers, it's not about what they do, it's about where they're at. But Gomez just manhandled that ball. And, you know, Gomez, the other guy, we forget is 19, because, you know, there's no part of his body, including his face, that looks 19. No. He is just a beast of a person.
And so now up on the screen, we've got Messi, player of the match day. I disagree with this. I know if Messi scores, as Mike V says, he's going to be player of the match day. I know. But if you're going to give it to somebody based off of their Inter Miami performance, it should have been Gomez, in my opinion.
There's no chance Gomez is going to win player of the match. Like, he's just not well enough. But he should have been on that list. I think it was a disservice to him. But again, you play on a team with Messi. The other person I want to call out, Kramaski came in as a sub. He looked better against Kansas City than he did against, who did I see him against? Huntsville? Like,
no, it wasn't Huntsville. Huntsville was just here.
Yeah, that's weekend. I saw him against Huntsville. That's when I saw him in person play.
You were there this weekend?
Oh, no. No, it was Huntsville. This weekend wasn't Huntsville.
I swear it was Huntsville again then.
No.
Is there Birmingham? Maybe?
There's a Birmingham.
Maybe it was Birmingham this weekend then.
This weekend was Chattanooga, who crushed them. But I saw him against Huntsville, and he did not look good, did not look sure of himself. Once he got on the pitch, I mean, sometimes you elevate yourself to the players around you, and you lower yourself to your competition. Like,
yeah,
he didn't look deserving of the criticism I gave him, but he wasn't playing the same level.
Well, let's be fair, though. You weren't criticizing him. You were just saying he's rusty, and it's true.
It but all of a sudden, the rust seemed gone. As soon as he got on the pitch, he got on the ball. He looked better, far better.
Yeah, because I don't even think he had practiced with the team at that point when he played with Inter-Miami CF2.
Like, maybe.
It's expected to have that rust. I don't think you were critical of him. I thought it was just rust.
He looked good. I think he's just ready. Speaking of, we saw Ian Frey today. There were some pictures of training. So might be another person we might be seeing back pretty soon.
Robbie Taylor, I think, was doing some side work as well. Campana. There was somebody else, I think.
Listen, I know I'm a negative person on this team, but if we get all these players back and we're healthy, the league should be scared.
Yeah. No, the league definitely should be scared if that happens.
Hold on. Someone just said Mike said loan Benja for Rojas. No, I did not say that. I want to be clear. I would never say that.
Did he text you that? Was that on a private chat?
No. No, I did not say that.
Yeah, AZ Rebellion, thanks for bringing that up. Alba did not practice today.
No.
So I would expect him to be out this weekend.
I'm expecting Negri to start now and left back.
Yeah, I agree. And it was cool. Negri was at the Panthers game last night. I don't know if you saw that.
He was. He was not wearing Inter-Miami colors either. I guess they own street clothes too.
I guess so. Yeah, Sean, I think having Ian Frey back is going to be awesome.
Yes.
It's going to be good.
Alba's huge. It is a huge loss. He's Taylor was really talking him up during the broadcast, and I think what he was saying was fair, that Alba's kind of in the pulse of the team this year. I am not overly concerned we won't have Alba for a few games if the rest of the team is healthy and able to play at that level. Like, we have – Negri is a strong substitute for Alba.
Yeah. Like, that's the best substitute. The guy was our starter.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best – backup we could hope to have for Alba, and I'm glad we kept Negri around. So I think while you have Messi healthy here, let Alba take a couple games to nurse that hamstring back, and then, you know, when Messi's away, Suarez away on international duty, you've got a guy like Alba who can kind of be a catalyst.
Which is kind of what you point out. Remember, we're broadcasting on a Wednesday. We haven't had a lot of Wednesdays off, but now that we're out of tournament play, we have a chance to rest guys for full week rest.
Yeah.
We're going to be coming into these games more rested. Our players that can't play, instead of missing two or three games, hopefully just miss one. You know, if the injuries, you have more time to heal. So, I think we're in a much better spot when this happened. And left back is a place we're strong. We have
we have
three left backs that can start in this league. Alba can take a break. We got someone that can back him up.
I'll let it go.
You can't say Noah can't start in this. Noah did start in this league for multiple games. So, like, that's a fair statement. Is he the best? No. But he can start.
Right. That's fair. I'll leave it alone. I'm not
saying he's going to be the best.
I know. No, you're right. That's unfair of me. He definitely could start in this league.
Yeah. He did start.
Well, could now is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And I think he would be better now than he was then. He's grown. He's matured. And he seems to be taking.
Growing, maturing under Tata is hard, but he's doing his best.
He's not doing it under Tata. He's doing it under Alba.
I see
Alba talking with him a lot.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if you are a left back and you're playing under Alba, you're in a good spot. Same way. And you know, it's funny. This was my issue with Higuain when he was here. Is you never saw any tutoring of the people around him. When he never pulled Robbie under his arm, but you see Messi, Suarez, Busquets, Alba, all of them. They're talking to the players around. They're trying to make everyone better. And all these guys that are here now are legitimately lucky because they will be better players just for the opportunity to play on this team. Like, you're being paid to get training in some shapes, which is awesome for these guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also got to take a, I was just taking a shot of Higuain because I just felt the need to.
I hope he watches, and I hope when he sees you at the park, he just looks at you and he's like, I know what you fucking said about me.
So it's funny. My friend's daughter is on his daughter's team, and he, like, even then he avoids, if he won't even like people on the team, he won't sign autographs for, like, he is out of the sport.
He's retired, man.
Yeah.
He's retired, and he was very open about how he feels about things and what his, he thinks his next chapter is. So
I'm glad I got my autographs early, because you are not getting another one.
Nope. But on that note, let's jump into Nashville. Nashville's last game was a 2-1 loss to Philadelphia. And they are towards the bottom of the table this year.
So I'm going to throw out there. I first of all, say this first and then kind of backtrack into it. We're going to win. I think we're going to win. I'm going to call 3-1 again. I do think Nashville is underrated, because I think they've had a pretty hard schedule. So they're 14th in the East right now. See, I'm sick. Right, hold on. I got to mute myself for 1 second.
Yeah, they're 14th in the East right now. They're struggling. I think a lot of that, too, is, and we saw it, we played them twice in League's Cup already, so we know what their best looks like. I think we got their best in both of those matches. You know, I think, and we saw they're going to be better than, sorry, guys, I'm just watching Mike, like, keel over. I'm going to have to text his wife and have her check on him.
She can hear me coughing, my wife.
It's very distracting.
Yeah, no, and I muted myself. Like, I'm trying to help. So, look, they lost to Philadelphia, who's undefeated.
Joe, they, you talking about Higuain or Mike?
They tied Columbus, who is the only team left in CCC, and just is the first MLS team to win on the road in Mexico to win. They got crushed by LAFC, who's a good team. Like, they lost us. They've had a fairly difficult start. I don't think they're not going to finish the season in 14th place. Like, they are going to make the playoffs. They're going to be a mid-table team at the very least.
You think so?
I do. I have a lot of faith in Nashville. I think they got Nashville's shown they struggle out of tournaments, right? Like, coming out of League's Cup last year, they were horrible. Coming off of CCC, they're struggling. Give them a chance to regain form, they're going to be okay. They're going
to
start winning.
But I think the other key thing is, like, Mukhtar, like, to start the season was not 100%. It was a Schaffelberg?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't 100% to start the season. That's their two best offensive weapons. And Zimmerman,
they did get rid of Dax McCarty, so I think they're struggling on that. I mean, that's what happens when you get rid of Dax. There's a little curse there, I think.
Yeah,
that was meant to be a joke.
That's really hurting them. But yeah, no, I think they are better than what their record shows. But I do agree with you. I do think we win pretty easily. I think it'll be, especially a home game. Like, I'm thinking 3-0. I don't even think
I expect us to get scored on every game. I don't think Drake is gonna have few and far between clean sheets.
Yeah, you know what? And I we didn't touch on it for the SKC game, but Drake did not have a good game either that game. And he's
the first goal was the
last
tough
couple of games.
I'm trying to remember the second goal. The first goal, that was a pick, like, he was on the complete opposite corner of the goal. Like, it was perfectly, I mean, you could make an argument he maybe cheated a little to protect his near post, but even your EPL keepers aren't saving a lot of those goals coming from the top of your 18 that go to the opposite side, top in.
No, and that's fair. But I think aside from that, I think he struggled with his distribution again.
Which is him.
Which is, yeah, it's him. It's definitely him. He kept pushing with trying to do those long passes, man. And I think he took 10 or 11 of them and one worked out. Like, it just, I don't know.
Which, by the way, on completely opposite news, he's got a baby on the way. He announced it today. Congrats to Drake Callender and his wife.
Yeah. Congrats. Absolutely. That's exciting.
It was funny. If you looked on Instagram, Yedlin had like three different posts. Like, Yedlin was super excited for him. Like, I don't know. I'm assuming Yedlin didn't find out via Instagram because they were friends. We all thought. I think Yedlin was in Callender's wedding. But
yeah, I think so.
Yedlin kept on posting over and over underneath it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, Joe.
Joe, Mike V is up for competition for best comments.
Oh, man.
No, I do think. So we are in, what month is this? This is for
middle of April.
If you do the math, he might be having this baby right during the middle of MLS Cup. It's probably not a good thing for us. Assuming he's 2-3 months in.
It doesn't. Listen, man. It is what it is. I'm not telling a guy.
I'm just saying CJ DeSantos is going to get some reps.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know. I'm having a kid in the middle of the season, so, you know,
yeah, it is what it is. You're not our starting keeper.
I'm just as important.
I would have told you to shoot your loads at a different time span to make sure this happens during the off season.
Yeah, you're going to miss me.
I mean, the rest of this all of our audience is going to miss you because then it's just going to be Mike Rantz for weeks on end.
No, I'll be on paternity leave. I'll still be here. You'll miss me at the stadium.
You can't work, but you're going to be on the show.
Yeah.
And today we have Branton joining us from the delivery room. What's the dilation at? 2 centimeters. All right. We got a little bit of time.
Ooh, let's see.
What do you think of Tata this week?
Ooh, can't do a Wednesday show that week. That'll be delivery day.
See, already this third kid is causing us problems. You prioritize, your priorities were backwards, sir.
I know this podcast we hadn't even started yet should have been priority, but
before you announced. All right, let's get the show back on track. We don't got a lot more left, and obviously I need to go to bed soon because I'm going to cough up a lung.
Yeah. So I think we win this one pretty easily. It'll be great to be. I will be back at the stadium. Mike will be there. Hopefully, if he's not healed over.
I will be there, and God, and so I'm supposed to get tattoos on Friday, so I have to stop coughing tomorrow because I can't cough and have tattoos. I'm not gonna be able to wear my normal kit because apparently in the sun I can't have my tattoos, so I'm gonna be wearing my Columbia Inter Miami gear that covers everything up nice and neat for me.
Then your tattoo is on your back.
I'm doing one's on my forearm too. I'm doing two.
Okay. Gotcha. Well,
so. Ooh. Yeah. Joe staying away from me. Joe's who got me sick. Joe saw me during my, like, I blame Joe.
It's all right, Joe. We'll have our own sidebar. We'll
cough on all you.
Joe and I will be handing out the Inter Miami show stickers so you don't catch anything from Mike.
Since I clearly don't hand those out anyway because Mike V still doesn't have any, then that wouldn't be anything new.
Yeah. Well, anyway, as we've said, we'll be in Green Lot, so you want to see
me? Yeah, we're going to be there. The Bay 13 is going to be cooking again for the Siege. By the way, little note here, for the Orlando game in Orlando, Joe and I will be heading up there and be at the game. So I don't think we'll be able to really do some reporting from the stadium, but we will be there and we'll do our best.
Oh, boy. You guys are nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are. We are getting back like 3 a.m. and I'm working the next day.
You're crazy, man. But yeah.
You could have done this, but again, you chose another kid.
When the other kid had no bearing on this. The other kid.
Yeah, you weren't gonna.
I was not prepared to go on the supporters bus with you guys and
hold on. Mike V.
I thought you told us you couldn't drink at the tailgates anymore, Mike V.
That was stated.
It was.
Also,
I hope it's not true.
I make Coquito around Christmas. So possibly for our, you know, a November, December game, Mike, I will put up my Coquito against yours. I'm willing to put it up already. I'm a white boy. But I still can make a coquito. Coquito's not drinking. Man, this is, he's a smart man. That's what I tell my wife.
Oh man, I can't wait. I can't wait.
All right, so let's wrap this up, because
yeah, so before I'm not too good to travel to Orlando. I just, that's a lot. That's a lot, Joe. And that's strong words coming from someone who got lost on an away day.
But he went.
But he almost didn't come back.
And I found him.
Oh, but anyway, just before we wrap up, just something fun. People seem to like it. Just doing the fun things from around the league, like just highlighting some cool things that other teams are doing. Starting left to right, we've got Nashville SC. They hosted their team meet and greet event this week.
Thing that we were promised as season ticket holders and did not get? And
that's why that I thing. Put it in there. It was really cool. Lots of kids getting autographs, getting to meet like stars. It wasn't just like people they barely knew, like Hani Mukhtar was there. Big names. They got to wear the championship like belt that they pass around in the supporters group. So really cool. Supporters groups and team working together in that event.
Nashville will never stop being the club I wish we were. Like forever. And I'm talking about who's on it. It's not about who's on the team, but the way they treat their fans, what they did with their stadium, like you saw these two clubs start from the very beginning. Cause remember we're sister teams from 2020 and the divergence was so rapid of, we love you as supporters and we love your money as supporters. Like it was just so quickly diverged. And yeah, going to that stadium just reinforced that. If we didn't have a Miami team, I could actually easily be a Nashville team because they just seem like quality from top to bottom.
Well, and they built it differently, right? They built it from the bottom up.
Yeah, it's an original USL team, down. Though not many of their players made through, but start with a USL fan base. It started early with a stadium. Yeah. They worked it really well.
Yeah, they did a great job. And, I agree with you. It's definitely a team to be envious of. In some aspects, we still have more trophies than they do, so suck it. Second one, Chicago Fire. So they had this really cool event. This was week before last, but it was sports night. And so they had representatives from like a lot of the different teams in the area come out. They had spots set up like where you could shoot basketballs, where you could... there was like a pitching and hitting challenge. There was a hockey, like a, shooting area, and all the mascots from all the teams in Chicago came out, were there for pictures. Some of the players from the other teams were there. Really awesome event. And definitely something I'd love to see more of, just in South Florida in general. Like we do see a little bit of crossover. Like if you guys saw like Busquets throughout the opening pitch at a Marlins game, we've seen Negri at Panthers games, Busquets at Dolphins games. Like we've seen these guys like at Heat games. So a large group always seems to be at the Heat games, but it would be nice to see all the teams kind of hanging out. And then the last thing is, and hopefully you guys saw it, New York City FC got approval finally for their new stadium in Queens, which will be right next to Shea Stadium. If you've ever seen that area, you will know that it is a dump. So hopefully this helps rejuvenate that area. Oh, boy. Mine's all the way over there. I don't feel
Mike, he's making fun of our first trophy, the Carolina Challenge Cup trophy.
And Mike, we didn't beat Miami FC.
It wasn't, but we still did get it. That was our first trophy. So we actually have two trophies. Yeah. I know most people don't remember that. And I'm pretty sure we were supposed to win one in Hong Kong, but we lost that one. Which was Tokyo or Hong Kong? We lost that one.
Hong Kong was penalties, right?
When they went to penalty kicks and now all the players were super confused.
Nobody knew it was penalties or something.
Sorry, I distracted you from the new NYCFC one, which I really question who's going to get their stadium first, Miami or NYCFC, because building anything in New York City takes it's remember, New York is somehow,
yeah, but you know where the stadium is, right?
It's in the middle of the river in that garbage dump, isn't it? Like, the didn't they build it on the island?
It's right next to Shea Stadium. They're building it.
Oh, I thought they built it on like Rikers Island or that, not Rikers, but anyway,
no, it's Queens.
Still don't think it's going to be built anytime soon.
Yeah, it's well, and you know, like the thing is like, I'm a Marlins fan. I hate the Mets. The Mets are the worst. I've been to, you know what? And I just called it Shea Stadium. It is not Shea Stadium. It's Citi Field now. I'm sorry.
I grew up at Shea Stadium. Like, that's all I know it as.
Yeah, Citi Field's been around for like 5 or 6 years. I still call it Shea Stadium. Yeah, the area is not, it's nothing fancy. But it would be cool, like, as an away fan, like, to have a really nice area to go to see games in. And I like when cities like make like a sports area. So maybe that'll happen there. And, you know,
that's how they're making it look in the images.
Yeah, they are.
I just don't have hope. I mean, the only reason you might have hope is there's so much money behind this stadium. Like,
yeah, it's City Football Group.
I just watched, when I was homesick this week, I watched Netflix's special on Man City winning the, the three-peat, whatever the three thing is. I don't have a head right now. The treble. And they kept on showing their campus. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Like, there's NFL teams that clearly don't have campuses that you didn't look. It's funny because soccer locker rooms are just so pathetic compared to NFL ones. So to see this soccer campus outwinning anything we have in the NFL was just kind of very disparaging to me. But knowing that City could build a campus like that for just practicing, essentially, tells me that if they really get behind this stadium and put their money and effort into it, it will be a nice stadium setup.
I mean, the empty hat, as I call it. If you look at that, like, it's a nice stadium, but there's nothing around it. Like, it's a boring area.
No, but if you look at their training ground,
no, I know.
They've got the indoor with the outdoor. Like, it's a nice setup.
Yeah. Look at Liverpool's new ground. It's just as nice, man.
I'm sure. I'm sure it is. That's
a new standard. And there's more money in the EPL than in NFL.
But there's
more money being spent.
It's weird though to walk into those locker rooms of have you've never been to Liverpool's locker room, right? You've never done you haven't gone over there yet. So and you see this not just because I've been in Chelsea's, but you see it in the videos when they show Man City's, and it's literally a spot, a locker behind a player. Maybe it's nice.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And then you look at like American college football ones where every one of the chairs has a TV and an Xbox or a PS5, and you go in the NFL ones and they got full game rooms, and it's just completely different. Like, those locker rooms are basically clubs. And I know I'm totally gone on a weird tangent here, but it's still shocking to me how mediocre the locker rooms are of truly some of the greatest athletes in the world.
Yeah, but I think NFL players spend a lot more time in the locker rooms at the stadium than soccer players do or football players do, because like, if you look, like if you watch like on a match day, like they only get to the stadium, they bus them into the stadium from the training facility, then they go in, they put their stuff down, they go out, they practice on the pitch, they come back in, they change, they go back out for the game, they're in halftime for 15 minutes. Like, it's not a place that they spend a lot of time.
I don't think NFL's, I mean, how many times you watched an NFL game and they show like, here's so-and-so walking into the stadium 30 minutes ago or 40, they're not there that much longer. They're not spending the whole day there.
No, but I don't think they're spending the whole day there, but they're definitely getting there, I would say, at least 2 hours before the game.
I mean, soccer's getting there an hour before the game. I don't know. Just again, there's a huge disparity. I get your point. I'm not going to argue the point, mostly because I'm ready to go to bed, but like, it just that's just a huge, huge disparity.
But I think like it, the other thing too is like with the newer stadiums, like if you look at the Etihad, like their locker rooms are huge. They're awesome.
No, but it's
like not, when you're looking at historic locker rooms.
I'm talking about Etihad's. Etihad's is literally just it's a circular room. Each player gets a bigger seat. They have a pair of doors that fold in on themselves, and that's it. That's all you got.
Yeah, but that's nicer than most.
I mean, okay, it's nicer than to your point. It's nicer than classic EPL stadiums.
Yeah, because
but it doesn't like hold a candle to anything in NFL or college football, which is my point.
Yeah,
it is 100% nicer, and Etihad looks way better than Stamford Bridge. Stamford Bridge can't hold a candle to how nice Etihad's is. Like it really is a gorgeous setup.
Did you see the picture that was going around from, I think it was Luton Town's visiting locker room, and it was just like, it was like benches around like this really small room, and that was it.
And Joe's saying I'm basing off of Chelsea. I'm not. I'm actually basing off Etihad more than anyone else because it's a fairly new locker room, and not only was it immortalized.
I watched that All or Nothing, and I thought their locker room was nice.
It's you're comparing it against other EPL locker rooms, and it is nice in that sense. I'm comparing it against NFL locker rooms or college locker rooms, and that's what I'm saying.
I think NFL locker rooms are probably not as outlandish as college football ones, and I think that's because the locker room is part of the sales pitch in college football.
Okay, that's a fair statement.
There's probably something there. Like I don't think I've seen an NFL locker room where there's like recliners like in everything, but like at UM's locker room on campus, like to your point, there's like a recliner and a TV.
I swear I saw a video of the Dallas Cowboys locker room and it was gorgeous.
Maybe them. Yeah.
So that's anyway, possible. I know I went on a weird tangent, but it was just kind of I forgot how we got there, but you made me just talking about what
the new stadium
and what they can do there. And the Inter Miami locker room is pretty trashy. Just to be clear. It's just a locker room. Looks no different than your high school locker room. I think instead of metal bleachers, it's not much. It's a little bit better than Luton Town because I think it's nicer built-in bleachers. Looks exactly like
Chelsea's. They have lockers. Luton Town just had hooks.
Remember, Luton Town, you have to get to the way stands, you have to walk through a neighborhood. You go through the turnstiles and then walk in an elevated platform through a neighborhood.
Well, and like right next to somebody's bedroom window and stuff. Like, I think that is so cool. Like, I want to go there and do that.
I just had friends just get back from Wrexham and they said that match was unbelievable. Just that close atmosphere of it. That very small now Division III soccer as of this weekend.
Yep, congrats to them.
They ain't going to get promoted this quickly again, though.
They're going to run out of money to get promoted. They need investors.
Do you know who they name they dropped this week?
What?
CR7. Come play for us for a year.
Oh, he's got to do something, man, because he is going out with a whimper in Saudi Arabia.
Well, that's what somebody said this is. There was a real chance at one point that this weekend's game would have been Messi versus Ronaldo, that he would have gone to like the Kansas City conversation was a real conversation that definitely happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know. I read the Athletic did an article on him and his experience in Saudi Arabia. And I just, you know, like him, don't like him. He's definitely one of the greatest players to play. The game and to see him go out like this, I don't like it.
Well, I think the whole Saudi Arabian league is now struggling, right? I think.
Well, they've already said they're not spending anymore.
Yeah,
they're averaging like 7,000 people a game. Did you? I saw a video. I don't know if it was real, but there was like a spectator whipping in a player.
It was real. I know the player instigated it. He threw something at the guy. I don't know how he got the whip through security.
I don't think there's a rule against it.
I was also going to say afterwards, if you're going to ask me if I could get a whip into Drive Pink, yeah, I'm pretty sure I could. It wouldn't be that hard to do. So, like, if you really want to get a whip in any stadium, to be fair, it's not that hard because there's no metal on it.
Don't give people ideas because we already have enough pitch invaders. Like,
maybe that's a way to control pitch invaders.
Indiana Jones style. Oh man, that would be awesome.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Yeah, we already have gone long. We got yelled at for going long last episode. I wanted to go short and we also went long.
We're fine today. But thank you guys for listening. If you are listening after the fact, please like, subscribe on YouTube, hit the bell if you want to know when we're going live in case we forget to tweet it. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back after this weekend's game. Are we doing after game from the parking lot?
I would like to. It's been a while since we did it.
I'm down, so let's do it. Yeah, so we'll do it. As long as Mike's feeling better, we'll be at you live from
it. There is also element of, am I angry at the game? Like, if we play piss poor, I just don't. That's what happened last.
Want you on there?
No, that was the last game I went to, and we played so bad.
That was by yourself.
By myself. I refused to do it.
If I'm there, we'll do it.
Okay.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it, and I'll control your anger and harness it in a creative way.
Televised manner.
Yeah. We want raw and uncut, Mike. But, yeah, if you want that content, make sure you – that it is, Sean. I love it. We do need that. I love when Mike's angry. It's the best. That's why I disagree with him sometimes when I agree with him.
You're being nice to me today because you know I'm not feeling great.
That's what friends do, man. I can't kick you while you're on one knee. That's just rude.
I appreciate that.
But next week, I fully intend to come back at you. But anyway, yeah. We'll be back at you guys with some more content. So everybody have a good one. And hopefully stop by the Greenlot gang. Come and see us this weekend. Yeah. Anything else, Mike, before we wrap up?
No. Listen, let's get another W. Let's prove we can dislike Tata and still win. I think that's what I want to start seeing.
Yep. Agreed. Let's do it. All right, guys. Have a good night, and we'll come at you live after the game.